Good morning. Thank you for having us and giving us the opportunity to share this morning. I was thinking maybe it would be better if my wife was presenting and talking here, like we've heard about the PBS we just had. I apologize for my language. I am Czech, so I was born in Czech, and the true missionary who actually went there from her own country is Julie. So she's American, I am Czech, so you can tell by my accent. So I will try. If you don't understand, just give me that look like, and I will either repeat or we will exchange place with my wife, so she will take over. Today, I would like to read and talk from a book of Genesis about Abraham, which is one of the first big heroes in the Bible. And it would be from chapter 18. We were just celebrating the Last Supper, and the chapter 18 is actually recording the first meal God had with people, because he got invited by Abraham and he ate with him. So I will try to read. If you follow with me, the first, I guess, 5, 6, 7 verses. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 sheaves of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. So the story continued. You can be reading it on your own. But whenever I am reading about those big names, big people, important people, heroes of the Bible, I am really grateful to God for their lives, because sometimes I would be scared and probably embarrassed if there was a few chapters written about me in the Bible. And it's amazing that God is using the people who walk with him closely to teach us and to show how to live, to be example for us, but at the same time, to show that when we fail, we can relate to them, to see that even those big heroes were not perfect, and we can learn how they responded to their failures and failures, and how God was gracious and forgiving. So that's really encouraging. That's why I, since I was small growing up, reading about Daniel and all those heroes, when you experience life more and more, then you are really grateful to God that those people were not perfect at all. And when we would read different chapters about Abraham's life, we would learn that he was growing in his relationship with God. At the same time, since I was young, I was kind of jealous that these people had such a great experiences, like the mouths of the lions were closed in the Daniel case, and David beat the Goliath, and now with Abraham, he actually was met, looks like, by God and two angels, and he spoke with God directly. So I was sometimes telling God, I mean, I am Christian, and I never just saw you, I was sitting under many trees, but you never showed up. So sometimes we can feel that way. But when you read the story of Abraham, which is several chapters in the book of Genesis, you learn that it wasn't on a day basis. When Abraham was called to leave his homeland and to follow God's calling to go to the promised land, which he didn't know which one it is yet, it took 25 years, basically, to this chapter, or 24. And he heard from God like 3-4 times. So when God spoke to him, there could be a decade in between him talking to God or having vision, being with God again. And that kind of changes the perspective, because by God's grace, we have the opportunity to be with God every day. We can open his word, we can hear his voice, we can have a fellowship with him, we can come to church, we can have a communion on basically almost daily basis. And that's really great blessing. So even though maybe our experiences with God are not so dramatic, we still have the privilege that we can walk day by day with God. And that was actually in some way true with Abraham as well. So that's what kind of intro to our presentation, because what we want to show is that God is alive and the same like he was in the days of Abraham today, and he's alive and doing things even in Czech Republic. So even though it's not so dramatic, still God is reaching people and touching their hearts and changing them and doing his will, even difficult times. I mean, we had a COVID in Czech Republic, like you did here. They did pretty much the same. They were closing churches and there were limited opportunities for ministry, but God still led us through it, and the church survived, and we just want to report about that. And last thing before we do the presentation, from the life of Abraham, I just learned, like I said, that God let all these things be written for our benefit, so we would learn from it, that we would grow. And it just shows us, and especially in life of Abraham, that God's choice, that election of Abraham or David or Moses or somebody else, always means that he wants to include all the others. It's not for exclusion. Sometimes we feel somebody is called to be a missionary, so we are the ones just left to pray at home. Or somebody is called to be a pastor, so he's the one studying the Bible. We are just the ones who go to work and support the ministry. It's never like that. When God called Abraham, one of the promises were that he would be blessing for the others. So when somebody is called and elected by God to some ministry, some calling, and which is all of us because we are all gifted by God, we receive those gifts and those callings so we would be blessing to others. And that's what we always pray, even in Czech Republic, that God would use our lives to reach others, but also that our ministry there would be encouragement for all the other people who are praying for us here in America, and that we would be blessing and encouragement to you as well. So I will talk more about the 18th chapter after the presentation. So I don't know how to start it. I just push it. Whichever way. This is us. So you can tell who I am. And the rest, the youngest looking is my wife. So she's next to me. And then there is Ruby and Luke and Henry. So they are sitting here. So if you want to get to know them more, you have the opportunity. I am still learning how this works. Now I went back. Dark. No. Maybe I will eventually. Yeah, quiz. Okay. So we have a quiz for you. So that's not first time I am here. And we always tell many information about Czech Republic, how many believers there are and what is the main capital and all those things. So this time I figure out I will be not telling you, I will be finding from you. So there will be quiz. There is always opportunity to, there are multiple choices, so you can pick one, sometimes you can pick two. And if you know the answer, you can say it. You don't have to raise up your hand, just say it. And there is a reward. One of my sons, I guess Henry, was willing this time. We have a Czech coins. We don't use euro in Czech Republic. We are part of European Union, but we still have our own currency called koruna. It's like means crown. So if you answer first and you have the right answer, you get one crown. I don't know, it's a value of one dime or something like that. So you will not get rich by the right answers, but you have the little one crown. So I will see how it works for me. Still working on it. So that's what's back. This way, no, this way. I don't know if I can make it work. Yeah, here. What is, or if he's, you are helping me, yeah? Maybe you do it for me. What is the population of Czech Republic? What do you think, 5, 10, or 25 million? No, 10. So 10 was correct. So whoever said 10 got one crown. We are small. Like Poland, in comparison, is 40 million. Similar is Ukraine. Slovakia is less. That's like 5 million. Austria, down as vast, is less than 10. Mm-hmm. So next, if you can maybe move it. What is the Czech national sport? Football, figure skating, or hockey? It is hockey, yeah. Mm-hmm. So who was the... Henry needs to watch it. I don't know who was the first one. Just run back there. Quick, Henry. You are young. So, what year the Czechoslovakia was founded? You remember it was Czechoslovakia? 18, yeah, that was after the First World War. So the Czech Republic started 48 when the communists took over. You just have the answers there. And 68, that was the Prague Spring Cult. So basically, we were trying to go away from the communism and the Russian army, and it came to keep us straight. Which of these countries is not neighbor of Czechia? France, Germany, Austria. Yeah, France. That's kind of far, far west. Yeah, yeah. Austria is south of us, Germany west. We have the longest borders with Germany. Czech language belongs to the family of German, Slavic, Romance languages. No, it's sometimes I can be very romantic, but it's Slavic language. It's the same family like Croatian, Serb, Polish language, also Russian is Slavic, so. Mm-hmm. Who was the rice? Yeah, somebody, whoever wants the crown. I mean, if we one time, we will have a euro, so it will be like historic thing. Which of these is not Czech invention? Rubik's Cube, contact lenses, sugar cube? No, we invented sugar cube. It took us a while. There were many people coming together and we invented sugar cube, but it's a Rubik's Cube. Rubik's Cube was invented by the Hungarian men. So, so whoever, did you figure out who is guarding? Nobody? Okay. Come here so you see how they are answering. Come a little middle. Da, good. Which of these words are Czech origin? Robot, dollar, pistol, all three?
Pistol.
Yes, but all three is the correct answer, but he can get it, he got it, right? So there was no wrong answer because it's all three. Now then, which two of these famous people were born in Czech? And then you can...
One
and three is correct. So the pastor got it. Yeah, so there are the answers there. Which of these was not a Czech composer? Dvořák is composer. He has the New World. He was living in America for a while. Tomáš Masaryk, because he's Czech, but he is the first president. So Tomáš Masaryk was the first president. He wasn't a composer. What year was the oldest university in Central Europe established? It was in Czech, but what year? 1348. So I was waiting. So who was the 1348? Somebody there? Over there? Yeah, so that's the date. That was Arad the Charles IV. He was the emperor of the Roman Empire at the time. So, and he was staying in Prague. So the Prague was really important at that time. So he established the university. And then you have the little writings, what happens in the other years. 1863, that was the first Christians came to Czech Republic, the missionaries from the Thessalonica. 1415, John Huss, the reformer, was burned at stake. And 1620, that's the beginning of the 30-year war when the reform or the evangelical churches were uprising against the Habsburgs, which were Catholics. And there was one important battle. It wasn't so important, but it basically, we lost, the Czech lost. So the cause, because it was a religious war at the beginning, was lost. So we stayed under the Catholics, under the Habsburgs. Yeah, another. What is the Czech national dish? One is correct. One is correct. So we have the pork, cabbage, and dumplings. Those are the bread dumplings. You can always ask. They always ask you how many dumplings you want. Some people say 4 or 5. I mean, that's like a slice of bread. And Ruby likes that cheese, grilled cheese. I mean, fried cheese. She's famous. Which of these is a famous Czech national hobby still today? mushroom hunting. Yeah, that's quite a challenge because you need to know which ones are eatable and which are poisonous. So, and we are half and half. Julie and Ruby likes mushrooms, but my boys don't. They like to pick them, but they don't like to eat them. They don't like the texture. It's kind of... So that's... Yeah, so here is the Czech Republic. So you see where it is. The countries around, the neighboring countries. The green Slovakia, it was part of Czechoslovakia. We were one country originally. I don't know if... Yeah. So this is the how we are in Europe. So, yeah. So I will be asking if we can kind of move it maybe. I don't know. I don't... Tak, trying. So there are some informations about Czech. You can read for yourself. I think one of the newest is the in the middle on the 2021 census. We have census like you every 10 years. Only 18% claim to believe in any God, that including all the religions. So you see that most of the people in Czech Republic are atheists. They don't believe in God at all. You can kind of tell by the lifestyle there. And out of those 18%, most majority are Catholic Christians. So basically the Catholic churches, you have little churches in every village from the history. And so there are not many people going there, but that's what it is. So, and here are a few pictures. We included ourselves, so you can see the how it looks like in Czech. And also that we were there. Most of the pictures are from surrounding areas where we lived. Through the COVID, we couldn't go anywhere much, so we were just wandering around to stay in a... trying to make it work. I don't know if I need to point somewhere. Maybe that's what I'm doing wrong, not pointing the direction. Deep forest, that's where the mushrooms grow when the water goes up. Yeah, no, there is one. Yeah, so that's the poisonous. Castle. So there is a Tishnov. Tishnov is the place where we are trying to minister. That's a town of 10,000 people. Then there is another 10,000 people living in the villages around, so that the community we are trying to reach. A few pictures of that town. So that's our village where we live, just 1 mile out of the Tishnov. Some of the fruits from the gardens and the ladies in the church then make cakes for our church when we have coffee time after the meeting. So this is our ministry. This is a family which moved with us to the town Tishnov. They have now 3 kids. It's Julian and Esther Vevericovi, and they are the closest friends and helpers and ministers with us in Czech Republic. This is what we try to accomplish and do in Czech. By God's grace, we were able to do it through the COVID times. So even though there were times when we were not allowed to meet, we were still able to meet outside at least and just pray together and sing a song, read a little bit of scripture, just encourage each other, keep the distance. Nobody knew what was happening. So that's what happened. And one of the great ministries which was continuing through the whole time was then English Club. So we will show some pictures. So here are the pictures of the church meeting. And it will show how it was changing during those difficult years. So this is on Zoom, when we were not able to come together. The place where we used to meet was closed, so we are renting a place. So this is our backyard, so we were meeting in our home outside. So this was, again, back in a place we rent. I will go a little back somehow. How to do that? So this is our church meetings. We were trying to stay outside as much as we could. And this is, again, inside. I'm jumping by 2 somehow. It always does too. No, I don't know. So, and this is a ladies' meeting. So there was another ministry which is happening in our church. So there are just a few illustration pictures. That's what was happening. And then the life of our church. when it was still possible, we did some retreats outside. So that was the, like 2 days. Places. This is our co-worker, Julian. And this is the English club. Julie is leading that one. So it's basically, we don't have a youth group because we don't have enough young people in our church. We are a small church of, you saw the pictures, 30, 35 people. But we do the youth group for non-Christians, for kids who don't believe in God yet. We do it by English. So here are some pictures that before it was on a Zoom. And then there are pictures. So there are people who don't believe in God, but the parents send them to the club because to learn English, but they hear the word of God. They learn, memorize verses. They sing Christian songs. And some of them then went for Word of Life for the summer camp. And looks like that two of them, or one of them and his friend, accepted Jesus. So we are looking forward to have another person who is a Christian coming to the English club, hopefully this coming school year. So there are all the activities, again, trying to be outside as much as we could, because the rules for the inside were kind of limiting. Inside you have to have a mask, and there were numbers how many they can be inside. So we were trying to do whatever the allowed the weather be inside, outside. So this is our plan looking forward, what we would like to do in the Czech Republic. Again, we used to do the seminars in libraries, so we are looking for some other setting where we can, again, share the gospel and teach about the Bible. And we would like to start English conversations for adults, and hopefully after 3 years we would like to do again English camp in the summer. So those are some forward-looking situations. Also through the, so that's all of our presentation. So thank you for your patience. It's so many pictures. The one thing we are praying about is a place to meet. We are renting right now a place, but we find out that would be really helpful. We don't know in these days, you don't know if it's better to own something or not. But we have more ministry we would like to do, and there is no more opportunity to rent places. So we are renting family center, but all the days and times are already taken, so we are able basically to meet only on Sunday. Then another place we are meeting for the English club and Bible study. So it's scattered, and it would be nice to have one place that people know where they can find us, and we can do more ministry during the day and afternoons. So if you would pray for that. Right now we didn't find any property, any house, buildings, land yet. So we are just praying about maybe God will open some opportunity to that direction. So I'm turning back to the Genesis chapter 18. Abraham is a person who is said to be a father of our faith, father of faith. And that's one thing I sometimes struggle with, because we know that people, every person is saved by faith in Jesus. But if you talk about faith and believing in Czech Republic, people don't really understand, because they are not from Christian background, most of them. So when you say the word faith, some of them think about religion, that you are part of like Catholic church. That would mean faith. If you, it means believing or having faith, mean you go to some church. For other people, or most of the people, when you talk about faith, it means superstition, something of dark Middle Ages. That's what people did, like in comparison to the knowledge and science and kind of knowing, living reasonable life. So when you talk about faith, it's you need to basically explain what it means and what God is expecting from people. Obviously, people understand that believing also means that you accept something as a true. So when you say the gospel, that Jesus died for everybody, that Jesus died on a cross to save people, that he was dying not because he was criminal, but because he loved us and he was dying for our sin, for our bad behavior. So they can accept it as being true. So they understand that. We are trying to explain it's not about knowledge, but it needs to also touch their heart. They need to understand that it's also about them, and that they need that, that they need Jesus, that they need his help, they need forgiveness. So it's not just going through head, it's also going through heart. And Abraham is showing us that, and he's learning and growing in it, that faith, and that's a helpful word, means trusting God. So it's becoming personal. It's not just believing in some message and accepting it as a true and applying it to yourself, but it means that having faith in Jesus means that you are establishing a relationship with him, that you are trusting to him, that you put your life, you depend on what he did, what he says, that you are willing to live that way. You are willing to make all your decisions and the way you live based on what he's saying. But the story about Abraham is going even further, and I think it's really important and maybe in these days kind of really helping people understand what faith means, because Abraham is the only person who is called in the Bible that he was a friend of God. And I think the aspect of friendship means really a lot. Basically, believing in God means that you are a friend with God. It's not like you accept Jesus once, you trust him, and that's it. It means that you are living with God. You have a relationship on a day, basis. That you basically desire to be God part of your life. When you have friends, you basically want them to be involved in your life. When you go for some vacation or trip, you want to have your friends. That's what our boys are complaining about. They said, oh, why we went for the whole summer to America? We would like to be a little bit at home because we have all our friends at home. So even though they have great experiences and they see many things they wouldn't see otherwise, but they would like to have the friend with them. And I think that's the what Abraham is illustrating, that he was a person who was trying to have God involved in every aspect of his life, in every day. Friend is basically welcome to in our life anytime. He can come anytime. We want to talk to him about every aspect of our life. We want him to be involved in our problems, in our joys. So that's what the Abraham is really illustrating, that having a faith in God and a saving faith in Jesus means that we are friends with Jesus. And that's what is amazing, is that even though Abraham is the only person called friend of God in Old Testament, we all who believe in Jesus are called friends of Jesus in New Testament. Because when he was talking to his disciples, he said, I will not call you just my servants, but I will call you my friends, because you know what I am doing, you know what my desire is. And that even when we were reading today, the desire of Jesus, when he has this hard time in front of him, he was still desiring to be with the ones he loved. Because he was dying not just to fulfill God's will, but he was dying fulfilling God's will because God loved us, and Jesus was dying because he loved us. He cared about us, so he wanted to be with those he was dying for. And that's the example of the relationship between us and God and Jesus, what the believing really means, that he is a friend and he's always welcome in our life. And this story, I am reading the chapter 18, is an illustration of such a faith. Because what happened was that those visitors, I don't know at what point Abraham recognized that it wasn't just normal people, that it was actually God and two angels, looks like from what we are reading, visiting him. But he was willing to accept them even though they came in the most inappropriate time. It was basically in the middle of the day. It was hot. Abraham is almost 100 years old. So he's sitting, resting under the tree, and then three men shows up. And so it was the time of siesta. He could say basically, I'm old, I'm tired, it's hot. I mean, what a visit. That's not the appropriate time. But he stood up, and it's even written that he ran. So he was, basically his relationship with God was projected and showed to people who were probably at that point still strangers to him. And that's what the Bible is teaching us, that we need to be hospitable to people who come along. Even in the New Testament is written, when the last days come, when the last days arrive, which is closer and closer, I guess, for all of us, one important thing is to show love. And in the First Peter it said that we should be hospitable to each other. And Abraham is a great example of it, because it's written in a Hebrew, I believe, that some people not knowing accepting strangers, were showing hospitality to angels. And I think that was the situation with Abraham. And Abraham is showing, because of his close relationship with God, when the people came, he saw it as an opportunity, something which God brought into his life, to show hospitality. And he right away stood up, even it wasn't the best time maybe of the day to serve. He ran, so he was the one who was spontaneous in his hospitality. He was the one who was doing the best he could. Then he talked to his wife, talked to his servants. Then some of the preparation he was himself doing. It wasn't just he was delegating the things. So he was giving the best, giving the most he had. And then what is nice that it wasn't just doing something which we should and then, okay, make a mark. I did what I should have done. Good. He actually was having fellowship with those people. He was standing by while they were eating. I think, and that's the idea. Like, we should live every day and seeing that God is bringing situations into our life, and we should be reacting to them as something God is calling us to be involved in and using it as an opportunity to grow in relationship with Him. Sometimes it's hard time, sometimes it's fun time, but every person who comes in our life, every challenge, every problem, every task we have is basically God's open door, not to be bored and just live like every day the same, but it's supposed to shake us and draw us closer to God. So that's the second thing I was learning from Abraham. First, having a faith in Jesus and how to explain it and bring it to the Czech people means that living with God desires us to have a relationship with Him on a day-to-day basis, that we are basically His friends. He wants to be part of every aspect of our life. It's not just the religious side and we go somewhere on Sunday. It also means that having relationship and faith with Jesus means it changes our life. And it means that we live every day for Him. And one of the aspects is to share hospitality. That's what Abraham was living by. And then the third aspect is that it's interesting when they came. We know that they came to tell Abraham that his son will be born in a year. So Isaac was coming to become alive. And then they were also coming to warn him that Sodom will be destroyed. But the first question, and I finished with reading that, that little passage, was, where is your wife Sarah? And I was thinking, what a question. Like, I was thinking, I couldn't figure out for a long time why they would be asking about Sarah. First, if it was God, he really know where he was, where she was. And then it's kind of interesting how it really fits what God is doing. Then I remembered that that's a similar question was the first question God ever asked. When, basically, still in a Garden of Eden, the question of God was, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? Basically, where are you? And where the question was not really to find out, but was saying something is not right. Something is not correct. You are not where you should be. And in this passage, she was where she should be. She was in a tent. But if he was asking God a few chapters before, maybe he would have to say, ah, she's in a Pharaoh's home in Egypt, because he was using Sarah to cover his bases, basically, and using her to save his life. So I think asking this, he reminded Abraham of some of the failures of his life and the things were not correct. And he was saying, okay, where this time is Sarah? Well, how is your life really? Is it the way it should be? And the last thing what he's saying when he's asking more questions and talking about Sarah is, the verse 14, when he's saying that they will have a son, and for Abraham and Sarah, it was impossible. They were already old people. There was no time to have kids anymore. And God is saying, is anything in verse 14 too hard for the Lord? He's basically saying, none of your failures and missteps and all that are able to resist or to fail my promises which I gave you. Even though you are not able to have a kid anymore, that's no problem for me. And basically the whole life of Abraham White took 25 years since the first promise, because 25 years ago when he was 75, he heard from God that he will have a child and he will have a big family and they will become a nation. So he was waiting 25 years for the fulfillment. And it wasn't wasted time. He was growing in faith, but also he was growing to learning what the faith really means. Faith means that I am acknowledging that I am weak, but God is strong. That when I am weak, that God's power can be shown. And it's not about how strong is my faith, but how big God is. And I think that's really important, knowing again what faith means when Abraham is father of our faith. Because he was showing, whenever he met with Abraham, he was showing him more and more. One time he was asked to be animals to be cut in half. And that was the of that time kind of like showing that when you walk in between them and you don't fulfill what you promised, you would be punished, you would die, like the animals were cut in half. But he didn't ask Abraham to walk in between them, among the animals, the dead animals, but God went through them. So he was saying, I am the one who is guaranteeing what I promise, not you. It's not on you, how you behave, how good you act, what you do, your good deeds, which will save you, which will bring the fulfillment of my promises. It's what I am doing, who I am. My character is guaranteeing the promises. Then he asked another time to Abraham to be circumcised. We don't do that in Czech Republic. It's really strange. We don't talk much about people with that because it's that they cannot relate to it. But the whole idea of the main idea of the circumcision was to show again, it's not the human flesh, it's not the human power which can fulfill God's promises. It's all on God. It's just showing it's not the human effort, but it's God's power who can do what God said. And here again, he's basically showing, coming in person to tell them, okay, Isaiah will be born in a year, but it's not because of anything because of you. Now it's basically you are not able to have kids, but my power can overcome that. I can accomplish what you cannot. Because they were trying to have a son through Hagar. They were maybe thinking the Lord will be the one who will take over or the one of the servants, but God said, no, it will be through Sarah. So is anything too hard for the Lord? So again, to have faith in God sometimes means to answer the question for myself. Is anything hard for Lord in my life? Am I the problem? Am I not faithful enough or living always the right way and obeying God enough? It's not about me. It's about the faithfulness of God. What I can do is basically like Abraham did, just to cry and say, I am weak. There is no way you can accomplish through me anything. But because of you, because of your faithfulness, because of your power, the biggest story of the earth, basically the salvation story, can begin. That's why God showed up in person. He just showed up because the one which eventually the Jesus will come from was going to be born. And God wanted to have fellowship with Abraham in person just to tell him that. And that's what we are trying to communicate in Czech Republic, that believe in God means that you can have somebody who is along you all your life on a day-to-day basis. That it means that your life is changed and you have fellowship, you have hospitality, you have people around, you can serve, you can welcome in your life. It also means that there is nothing too difficult in your life that God cannot solve. And he desires to that all his promises will be fulfilled in your life. And it's not based on what you do, what you accomplish, on your effort, but it's all because God cares about you. It's based on his grace. That's what gospel is. That's what we are trying to tell people there. So thank you again for praying for us, for supporting us. And even though it wasn't easy these last years, we, by God's grace and your faithfulness, kind of survived there and were able to do the ministry which God called us to do. The last thing I just want to say, maybe you have a question, there is the war between Russia and Ukraine still going on. And especially at the beginning, there were thousands and thousands of refugees coming, even to Czech Republic. We have around 300,000 Ukrainians now living in Czech Republic, mainly moms with little kids. There are some in a boys' schools or Ruby schools as well. They are going to the same school. The ministry we were able to do, we don't have a building, so we couldn't really help them that way. But we were able to join the ministry of Word of Life. Word of Life camp is like 20 minutes away from the place we live, where our church is. So we went there to help, to welcome the people, and I was helping to translate. Julie was coming to help the sort of the food and clothes which people were giving. So we were trying to be participate in that ministry. Right now it's kind of settled. Most of the Ukrainians don't need really help material way because the government is helping. We are giving them money, they are part of the school, they have free healthcare and everything when they come. But we are still praying that God would open the door because it's obviously opportunity when the maybe the people will get tired of all the helping, so our time will come. But if you can pray, I mean, the war is still happening, people are scared, all the energies up to roof, the prices, and obviously the inflation like here. So we are just praying that these challenging times would be something that people are shaken, because in the past years what we encounter and experience was that people are doing quite well without God. So then when you tell them about Jesus, they think, oh well, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing well, I have a good job, I have a house, all the hobbies I can afford. But right now, I guess people are kind of squeezed and not sure what is happening. So if you would pray that God will again use us and to see the open door and meet people in the right time and have the right word for them so they would welcome Jesus in their lives. So thank you.